accession number 20816, Reel 2.
Mr. Fraser, Reel 2.
Yeah, when the padre took me to my brother's grave, as I say, we must have been very close at the time, because one of my unit sergeants was buried alongside him, and I heard from people that they'd been killed with a stonk of moaning minis in the field. And eventually, when I went back to Normandy some years later and found my brother's grave in a military cemetery, he was one row with a load of the Seaforce killed at the same, and right behind him was my sergeant. So they're still there.
Did it affect your attitude towards the enemy?
Very bitter, very bitter. There we are.
What happened next?
When I got to the Greys, I wasn't actually needed in the regiment, and I was in the support squadron right the way through to Holland. Again, driving a spare Sherman tank.
Can you take me through what happened to you, please?
Well, I know there's a race on to get to Brussels first between the Guards Armoured Brigade and some other units. We were one of the other units. And we crewed up outside Waterloo, which is where the Greys got one of their greatest battle honours. That's why they wear the French Eagle. And we were allowed into Brussels for a 24-hour pass. And then it was back, and the drive was on to get into Holland.
And Royal Scots Greys had the same equipment as County of London Yeomanry?
Yeah, Shermans.
Did you have any preference for the two regiments?
Not really, not at the time.
How much fighting were Royal Scots Greys having to do as they pushed through towards Holland?
I don't think there was a great deal at that time. Germans were on full retreat. It's only when they got into Holland that it stiffened up. And then, of course, we had the Arnhem cock-up.
What do you remember about that, personally?
I remember trying to get through on the roads, where it was completely blocked with traffic of all sorts. We couldn't move. We knew what was happening up and around the Arnhem area and all that, and we couldn't move because if you moved off the road, you were up to your eyes in the mud, etc., etc. If you kept on the road, Jerry was picking the vehicles off.
Did you get injured yourself?
Yes, just at that time I got injured in the ankle, and I got flown back to Blighty.
How did the injury happen?
It broke it on the ankle on the tank, falling off.
How did you come to fall off?
Just one of those things, very slippery steel on tanks.
Whoa. what kind of medical treatment did you get for it?
At first, the regimental aide bound it up, etc. Then we went back to a casualty clearance station where they had a look, and then they decided to send me to a hospital in Brussels where they set it and put it in plaster, and from there I was flown back to Blighty.
Where were you treated?
In?
Which hospital were you treated in?
In Leicester.
Were you satisfied with the treatment you got?
It was very good, very good. There was a hell of a lot of casualties in there from the battles, etc. But the staff were very, very good, and when I was able to get out, they put a new plaster on there, and I was able to get out on crutches and that, and the civilian people were very good.
Did you make a full recovery?
Yeah, I was eventually sent back up home to recuperate in a local rehabilitation unit, which they tried to do at that time. Once you were able to travel, they tried to get you as near your home as possible.
So this was in Elgin, was it?
The actual place was in Forest, which was about 12 miles away from Elgin.
What happened once you were fit again?
Came back down to, where did I go from there? Catterick, I think. Or was it Barnard Castle? Can't remember. And I was held there, and then was put on drafts and moved around various places. Came down to Bovington again, then back up to Barnard Castle. I was messing about something terrible. Eventually, I got sent back over to Europe and rejoined the regiment at the end of the war.
Did you join them before or after VE Day?
Just before.
So this was somewhere in North Germany?
Up on the Baltic, a place called Wismar.
What happened to you there? Any memories of Wismar?
Not really. the anti-fraternization order was in, and we didn't go out much about with the civilian. Shortly after that, we left Wismar and went to various places in Germany. We were up and down the country. As I said, we were like an independent brigade, and we used to float about even after the war was finished.
Did you run into the Russians when you were at Wismar?
Yeah, we met the Russians at Wismar.
What impression did they create?
Not very impressed. They were a drunken lot. Very aggressive.
Towards the British soldiers?
Yeah, just the same. It was all right in the first meeting, sort of thing, but once that wore off, very dour and didn't really want to know.
How were they behaving towards the local population?
The local population hated their guts.
You were just saying that the local population hated them.
Mm.
Did they have reason to?
Well, they knew about the atrocities that had been committed, etc., etc., and they were still going on. I think, as far as I'm concerned, it's hearsay. I mean, I've got no proof of it, but evidently they were raping and looting left, right, and centre. Our job at that time actually was confiscating anything military-like from the civilian, like cameras and shotguns and equipment like that. That was one of the jobs we had at the time.
How did you go about doing that?
Well, I went round around the houses, inspecting the houses and farms and all that type of thing.
What type of things turned up in these searches?
Well, there was, as I say, shotguns and other types of arms. Cameras were and photographic equipment. In some cases, engineering stuff was confiscated as well. That's about all I can remember about it. I wasn't too involved in it, actually.
Was this stuff ever returned to the Germans?
I have no idea.
How did the Germans react to the searches?
They accepted it because they were beaten. They knew they had to suffer something or the other. There was no argument.
And you say you moved from Wismar to somewhere else?
Mm-hmm. Places I can remember was a place called Rottenburg, and then we went to Schleswig-Holstein, and then we went down to the south of Germany, we went to Munster, and I think our final resting place was Lüneburg.
How did you like being in Germany?
Quite well. It's a nice country, you know. And once the frat ban was lifted and we mixed with the people, although we mixed with them before that anyway, it was all right. But at the time, I was mostly involved in sport with the regiment. Whatever sporting activities was going on, I joined in.
What type of sports were you playing?
Well, mostly my religion is football, but athletics and that type of thing, hockey and even rugby, anything in the sporting line.
And how did your army career finish up?
In later stages, they done away with regimental mechanics and fitters, etc. Remy took the whole lot over, and I spent most of my time going on courses back here in Blighty, and I became a drill instructor and was training national servicemen.
What impression did the national servicemen make?
To start off with, they were very, very Barbary. Most of them didn't want to be involved in the army. There was some who did, who took to it, but after you had them a few weeks, they began to take an interest, and you got the rivalry between your squad and the other squad, and in the end they turned, and I'd say 90% of them turned out as quite good soldiers, and quite a lot of them went abroad to Malaya and other terrorist countries where the British Army was involved as National servicemen.
Any particular national servicemen that stick out in your mind whom you had to drill?
Not offhand, no. It was just a name and a number.
Where were you doing this drilling?
Up Catrick.
So this was parade ground stuff, was it?
Mm.
Did the national servicemen of that time seem to be like the people who'd gone into the army in the early part of the Second World War, or were there any differences?
There was a difference in as much as most of them didn't want to be there. During the war, people who were called up, etc., accepted it more, and they mucked in much more than the national servicemen. But as I say, once they got into the squad and into the routine, and a bit of rivalry and respect came into it, and when they had their passing out parade, they were as smart as anything.
You mean self-respect?
Well, respect for their squad and their turnout and that type of thing.
Do you mean there was more difficulty in getting them to see the point of the army than it had been in the Second World War? Mm.
A lot of them didn't see the point of, once the war was finished, why they should be called up. That was the attitude.
Which years would you have been doing this work as drill sergeant, drill instructor?
In the late 40s, early 50s.
What rank did you have then?
Just a sergeant.
So you were still in Royal Scots Greys?
Still attached to Royal Scots Greys, yeah.
When did your army... had you signed on in the army?
Yeah.
For how long had you signed on for?
6 years.
Why had you decided to do that?
I liked the life. It, I suppose it was in the blood, and that was it. I wanted to go on for 21, but I got married and had children. There was no married quarters as such in those early days, and I came out, settled here in Bournemouth.
Which year did you come out of the army?
51.
How do you feel now about having served in the Royal Armoured Corps in the Second World War?
I'm quite proud of the fact that it was something I was interested in.